a business that you've been building for 20 years and suddenly your entire business essentially is at risk.
Yeah, it's gone. It's down. I basically told people, like, I can't make a decision. You guys are going to run with it? If it's under $500, I don't want to hear about it. Just do it.
When your entire business is at risk because of a ransomware attack, the damage often reaches well beyond data. It's personal, visceral. And if we don't rewrite the narrative of victims, then we give threat actors the power to steal our very dignity. This is the Cyber Crime Lab, a podcast about true cybercrime stories, the impact on victims, and what businesses can do to protect themselves and their customers. And if you think you're not at risk, that is exactly where attackers want you to be.
In my experience, it only takes hearing what these attacks are like a few times to realize you need to prepare yourself for what could be a business-ending experience.
That's Andy Anderson, the founder and CEO of DataStream Insurance. For over a decade, Andy has been working with victims of cybercrime. He's seen firsthand the human impact of a cyber attack. Now, he's on a mission to shed light on the threats we all face from a world we can't see. Today, Andy has invited Jay Tipton to the Cyber Crime Lab. Jay is the CEO and owner of Technology Specialists, an MSP that focuses on small to medium business and healthcare verticals.
I'm Jay Tipton. We're out of Fort Wayne, Indiana.
How big an organization? Obviously, you've been doing it for a long time, but roughly how many customers are you helping?
On contract, I think it's around 50.
Yeah, so not a three-client MSP.
Started this in 98, back when things were easy and safe. In July of this year, we got hit with the Kaseya attack. That just totally blindsided us because we had no idea.
The Kaseya software was instrumental, in fact, in making MSPs a viable IT service provider for small and medium businesses. The software package allows technical specialists to monitor and manage systems remotely. And on July 2nd, 2021, the Kaseya software was hit by a massive ransomware attack. But for Jay, July 2nd started as just a regular Friday.
I was actually out at a client's using my laptop, working on his phones to get him up and running. I noticed I was getting ready to leave that Outlook and Excel closed down, which anymore with Microsoft, it's not too unusual for those to crash and just close. So I just closed my laptop up and took off. As I got to the car and I called into the office, I was told that we've got a client that can't get out to the internet anymore, and you may have to stop by. So I'm like, okay. And then she says, hold on, I've got another call. And she had like three or four calls in a row of people not being able to do anything and having strange icons show up on their screens. So I changed what I was going to do and came back here to the office, looked at her machine, saw it was ransomware, and I just went into the server or into our NOC and just shut everything down. Didn't really care at that point. So once we realized what was going on, I went to go grab my DR, which was located on five different machines in three different locations. All of them got encrypted at the same time, including my laptop, which I normally don't even have on.
And then what do you do? Do you like run home or do you run to the, you know, a local Starbucks to hop online?
We have phones that we could hotspot, but we got the internet and wireless up internally. Then we were just trying to assess the damage and see what was going on. Because I thought at first that we were the only ones.
It is estimated that more than 1,000 companies were victims of this attack, many of whom weren't even Kaseya customers. This particular ransomware mimicked an automated management agent update. Once delivered, it immediately cut off administrator access to the Kaseya software, then initiated a task that began spreading the attack across systems managed by the MSP, the very systems that Jay had been working to support.
Wow. So every one of your 50-plus clients is suddenly offline.
I think we ended up cleaning about 500 workstations and probably around 80 servers.
Jay, I want to just thank you for being willing to talk about this. I can only imagine how traumatic this is, and even to talk about it. I want to thank you for that because I know it's not easy. A business that you've been building for 20 years and suddenly your entire business essentially is at risk.
Yeah, it's gone. It's down.
And all of those customers, right? Like these are
my friends.
Yeah, your friends. like many MSPs, like these are customers that you've had for years, if not decades in many cases?
Yep. Most of them have been, the longest ones have been 23 years.
Wow. How do you get word out to them? How are you talking with them? What happens that day?
Well, the good thing was it was a Friday afternoon before a holiday. So most of our clients closed at noon and they didn't even know what was going on yet. And some of them we had cell phone numbers for, some we didn't. We had those 3 days that was fairly quiet that we could at least work and come up with a game plan. On Sunday, I basically told people that I can't make a decision. You guys are going to run with it. If it's under $500, I don't want to hear about it. Just do it. And so I turned over that. They freaked out a bit when I gave my business partner my guns because I was that unstable with everything happening.
So often when we talk about these things, we talk about the technical and we talk about this and that.
No one talks about the emotional side. How it affects your team, how it affects you, how it affects your clients. First, I felt like it was my fault because I was actually tweaking the security on that server, Kaseya server, early in the week. So I'm sitting there going, oh shit, what did I forget? You know, as I'm driving back across town, I'm going through everything that I changed. And I'm like, that shouldn't have done it. That shouldn't have done it. That shouldn't have done it. And I was blaming myself at first. I still did for about a week.
How long did this go on for?
It took us about a month to get everybody cleaned up and back up. That took us about another 15 days after that to get our systems all up. I was here almost 20 hours a day. I collapsed in my office. Literally collapsed on the couch. I literally fell over because I was that beat. You're going to feel alone. You're going to feel beat. But I've got a hell of a team. Without them, it wouldn't have gotten done.
What was that like with them? It sounds like some pretty incredible experiences with the community and trying to help.
I had ex-employees coming in. I had clients coming in doing their machines, then helping us do other machines. I had friends that I didn't even know about sending me hardware. I had servers and workstations just showing up at the door for loaners to get people up. My ex-business partner came down and he spent almost a month with us.
They just started to hear through the community that you were dealing with this and they just started.
And then I had people just calling. People I haven't talked to in 5 or 10 years. What do you need? Some of my friends actually used their employees that were out of Fort Wayne area and sent them to sites that we had down south in Indiana, out in California, Ohio, Michigan. And they sent their employees out to help us clean.
Wow. In the midst of that, just what is such a scary moment, just to see that. Were you shocked? Were you flabbergasted? How do you...
Yeah, I didn't expect it.
It's just such an incredible group of people. And I think stories like this one are just where people see it. Every day, what we do is try and talk to people to help them understand that this could happen to them and try and bring some of the resources on the insurance side to do it. The reason that we started this podcast is to hear stories like this because people need to hear them.
Last year, I went to, I think, 7 ASCII events. I did a presentation on what happened and how it affects you and, you know, what to expect. Because it doesn't matter what size you are. If you got a machine on the internet, you're vulnerable. We were following best practices. We had 2-factor authentication on everything. I've got a spreadsheet with 400 usernames and passwords that are just mined for different systems. And of course, all those got encrypted too.
There's always something that could have been better or could have been different. But what people don't realize, it's a little thing usually. And so it looks like pointing that out and saying, like, how could somebody have missed this? It's not as fun to talk about is that there's 10,000 of those things. And you tell me where you have 10,000 things and you've kept all of them in like perfect alignment.
Yeah, we're not perfect. I tell my employees, if you don't screw up once in a while, you're not trying hard enough.
There's this culture of blaming the victim and victims blaming themselves that until we start talking about, is it going to get better?
All too often, we look at incidents like the Kaseya attack and write them off as nothing more than a big tech company getting hacked. Corporations become characters we feel comfortable criticizing and comfortably well removed from. All the while, small businesses doing the best they can become faceless casualties, their vulnerabilities stigmatized as some sort of twisted consent. If we only take time to look at these attacks, we'll find real people facing real trauma. This shame is a shadow that threat actors use to keep their victims silent. But when a community employs empathy, criminals lose that leverage. And in Jay's case, a network of business owners, employees, friends, and even customers came together and did just that. They took back the narrative.
This has been incredible. One of the most amazing conversations that I've ever had around these issues. What would you tell someone, having heard this story, what do you wish that they knew? What do you wish that they did?
The biggest thing is that for when they get hit, they need to reach out. You know, I was frozen. I think having somebody there that's been through this and can empathize with them, help them at least get through the first couple weeks of being able to get back up on their feet.
That's maybe been the most powerful part of this conversation, is just the emotional challenges. When you're going through something, to not know that you're not alone in it, that you're not the only one who's gone through it.
I mean, you feel very alone. You feel isolated.
And to know that you're going to get through it, and there is another side.
You're never going to be prepared for the emotional toll that's going to hit you.
Wow. I almost don't have the words, Jay. I want to thank you for your courage and for your honesty about this, because not everyone has the courage that you do to talk about it. And the only way that it's going to get better is for people to hear it.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Cyber Crime Lab, brought to you by Datastream Insurance. When the worst happens, you're going to want the best financial, legal, and technical support to get you back up and running again. With cyber insurance from Datastream, we find the most comprehensive insurance coverage on the market, alongside critical post-incident customer support. Go to datastreaminsurance.com today and see how we can help you secure your business data. That's datastreaminsurance.com. If you enjoyed today's episode, be sure to subscribe and give us a 5-star review. You'll find show notes and any resources mentioned at cybercrimelabpodcast.com. We hope you'll join us next episode. Until then, stay safe, and more importantly, stay ready.